Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I tell you, that's a great song. I love you more. You know, it comes right down to it. We think about what all God's done for us. I don't know how we could keep from loving Him more each and every day. He does so much for us. You know, helps us through situations that we don't know how we'd get through without Him. I tell you, you probably wouldn't get through it without Him because He's a great God. And I think so much how much He shares His grace and loves us. And good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. You know, I had some thoughts walking up here this morning. Part of it is about news, you know, the shooting in Virginia Beach. I guess y'all saw that, you know, they killed 12 people up there. And then two shootings in Chattanooga last night. And, I look around and see the world we're in, and I'm thankful we got a God that can watch over and protect us and His hand be upon us. So I want to share some scripture with you this morning. I want to talk about a situation in life a little bit and about the way God can use us. If you'll turn with me in your book, a scripture in St. Luke chapter 10, we're going to talk about Jesus sending people. You know, all the way through, He had a job for everybody. You know, I heard Him announcing this morning that in the Bible school, that if you just put your name down, show up, they'd find you something to do. Well, the job's already there. You know, we've got a need for people to show up in Bible school and help in that. But Jesus always had something for His people and His ones that believed on Him. He had somewhere for them to go and something for them to do. I think He wanted to keep them busy, you know. I see this a lot of times when people get not busy and nothing to do, you get a little bit on the lazy side. And I think the farther it goes, the worse you get. So St. Luke chapter 10, verse 1, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before His face into every city and place whither He Himself would come. Therefore He said unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest, that He would send forth laborers into His harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse, nor scrip, nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. I want to stop after four verses, and let's think about this a little bit. The situation Jesus sending out these 70 also. Now, this is not all He sent. It says 70 also. He pointed 70 also. And so they're going out and they're doing the will of God. They're out talking about the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And He's telling them that the harvest is great. I don't guess I've ever saw a greater time since I've been pastoring or since I've been a child of God. More needful now that we go out and tell people the harvest is truly plentiful. We're in a world that had rather believe a lie than the truth. We're in a world that just a small number of people can have a great influence on everybody. You know, we see this very often. And so when we talk about the harvest is truly great, in that day and time it was, and it's still today greater than ever because there's more in the world and there's a great need. And it said we need to be praying therefore to the Lord of the harvest that He had sent forth laborers in the harvest. We're talking about getting busy for God this morning. We're talking about doing something for the Lord. I know we've all got an agenda that we follow and a lot of times schedules that we keep. And, you know, it's easy thing to do that we convince ourselves, okay, we're just too busy. We can't do that. But, you know, it don't take long to make a phone call. You know, most everybody carries one in their pocket this day and time. You don't even have to take time. You can walk around and talk to them. I started to say you could drive down the road and talk to them, but you better have one of those things if you do, because that's against the Lord law now. And He talked about them going their ways, and he talked about them carrying neither purse nor scrip nor shoes and salute no man by the way. It starts telling us that God will provide what we need if we're about His work. When you start about the work of God, a lot of times you'll wonder, well, I don't know how I'm going to do this, do that. God will provide the way. It's no doubt whatsoever that He can provide the way. And so when we start thinking about the work and the responsibility and the opportunity that God gives us each and every day to tell somebody about the Lord Jesus. You know, when I heard about those 12 getting killed over in Virginia Beach, you know the first thought I had? I thought, are they saved? I wonder, are they saved? You know, it's a sad thing, I guess, that although I didn't know them, don't know their life, don't know any situation about them, But that's the thought I had, because we can wonder about all the world around us. Are they saved? Or is our family, if something happened to them, if they were in one of these shootings, are they going to go to heaven or are they going to go to hell? Because, you know, that's the choices we have. And so when Jesus starts sending these guys, these people out, this 70 also, he had intentions for them to go about and tell people about the salvation by the grace of God. In verse 5, and into whatsoever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. Now, I want to talk about peace just a little bit. He's telling them to go into the houses and preach peace. God brings peace. God brings comfort. God brings joy. He brings a lot of things. Let's look over, hold this place, and let's look over to Matthew chapter 11 just for a few minutes. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, 29, and 30. Turn there with me and look at these verses. Our busy world, and as much as we do, and as much as we have to perform on jobs and responsibilities of the world, God can give you peace and God can give you rest. Now, that's where we need to look to in Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Yeah, you know, I think so many times this offer, this promise from God, he said, all you that labor and heavy laden. You know, there's so many things that seem to burden us, that seem to get us down. And Jesus is telling us and having a promise that he said, I'll give you rest. You got a burden that you can't hardly get over. You got something you're struggling to get through. If you'll take it to Jesus, he said, I'll give you rest. And so we have this promise of God that he can do this thing. Verse 28, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. And so when we start taking the yoke of Jesus upon us, that would be to testify to a lost and dying world about the love of God through grace that would save their souls. And he said, he can give find rest unto your soul. These problems that we have in life and these situations we face, sometimes we bring on ourselves because we don't take it to the Lord. Now, when he said, take my yoke upon you, he wanted us to go to work. I believe Jesus is still at work today. A lot of people say, well, he's in heaven. Amen, he's in heaven. He's working from home. He started that situation. If you didn't know it, he's the one that first worked from home. But he's still working. He's still looking to our benefit and for our goodness. In verse 30, it said, for my yoke is easy and my burden's light. And so we run out of excuses not to work and not to help in the work of God, the work that he's given us to do now. And when it says, my yoke is easy and my burden's light, it's not a hard thing to serve the Lord. It's not a hard thing to serve the Lord. So he sent these 70 out. In verse 6 it said, and if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. I want you to notice how he described this. It said, whatsoever house you enter in, first say, peace be in this house. He said, if you say peace and you find peace there, it's going to be a peaceful house. He said, if you don't, it shall turn again to you. And so I got thinking about, we've got nothing to lose. You know, it's not a gamble on our part that we might lose some of the peace from God, or we might lose from the joy of God, because said, if you don't find that, if you say it and it's not in that house, he said, it'll return again to you. It shall turn to you again. And so we've got nothing to lose. It's not a gamble when you start telling people about the Lord Jesus. You're not going to lose nothing. You filled up in the Spirit today. You high in God today. You full of the Holy Ghost today. If you try to share that and they don't receive it, you're not going to lose it. It'll come back. Nothing to lose in it. Over in St. Luke 10, verse 17, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the enemy of the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And so he gives us an understanding, you know, these 70 had found great joy because they had done what God had asked them to do. They had done the bidding and the call of the Lord and Savior Jesus, and it said they returned again with great joy. I want to tell you, there's a joy in doing the work of the Lord, whether it's to testify or whether it's show up at church or whatever God might call you to do. These 70 returned with joy. I can imagine them coming back. And they probably had a story to tell. Said, let me tell you where we've been. Let me tell you what we've accomplished. He said the devils were even subject unto them. God had given them a power to overcome the things of this world. I'm preaching this morning, we need that power restored in the church that we can overcome some of the things in this world. We've saw some good movements by a lot of states now about abortion, but it's late coming. It should have happened years ago because we let a small group of people make a lot of influence in the United States. It's our turn, Christians. It's our turn to make our example. It's our turn to let them know what a small group of children of God can make, and let our voices be heard. You know why they got more influence than us? Because they speak louder and longer. And another reason is because the news don't want to hear you. Amen. Let's just get it just like it is. I mean, if you'll marry 14 guys up at one day or 14 women up one day, they'll want to hear that. They don't want to hear from the Christians. He told them, don't rejoice in the fact that he had power on this earth. You know, there's power on this earth that God allows us to have to overcome a lot of different situations. But he said, don't rejoice in that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Now, we're getting right down to the point now and understanding that the most important thing we can do was our name be recorded in the book of life. Let's look Book of Life just a minute. Philippians chapter 4. Turn over there with me. You can hold this spot. We may come back and we may not. Philippians chapter 4. I'll start in verse 3. And we're talking about the Book of Life. It's described several places in Scripture. And that's where we're recorded. You didn't put your name down. It was written in blood. And that blood was the blood shed on the cross of Calvary. You've got a record of you in heaven if you're a believer on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you're a true believer, your name has been recorded, and it's in heaven in that book. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 3, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellowship, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. And so he was encouraging people to entreat them good. In other words, take care of them. He's talking about the true yoke fellowship. That's taking on that yoke of Christ. And that's who he's talking about. The believers in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It come down there to the book. About them it said whose names are in the book of life. If there's one place you want your name recorded, it's for sure in the book of life. If you're going to have eternal salvation, if you're going to spend an eternity in heaven, your name's going to be in this book of life. You get it there by belief on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, believing that he died for the sins of the world, believing he died on the cross of Calvary, believing that God resurrected him. That's what it's about. In verse 4, it said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You know, we're encouraged all through Scripture to rejoice, to be happy, to just rejoice in the fact that God has saved our soul. And he's encouraging us here. Just as the 70, it said, return with joy because they had done the work that Jesus sent them out to do. Now, he's encouraging us because we're fellow laborers, because we're fellow yoked in the yoke with Jesus Christ. He said, rejoice. You know, I don't see enough rejoicing anymore. You know, I really don't. When's the last time you've truly just leaned back and had a good time and rejoiced in the Lord? You ought to be doing it now. I mean, we've had the singing to prepare the word for the word. We're getting the word. That ought to put saved people rejoicing. It ought to put lost people repenting. You know, it's a two-way street. He goes a little bit farther in verse 6. It said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God.
And you know, we look down at this, be careful for nothing. You know, God's got a plan for us. God's got it all figured out. We don't have to wait on God's plan. It's already in effect. In verse 7, it said, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." What keeps all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus? What keeps us? Christ Jesus. You know, I think a lot of times, Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 14, it said, "I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever." Now listen to it. It shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before Him. Now, I have these people that tell me, "Well, you think you can be saved eternal?" Amen, I believe it. Why do I believe it? Because God said it. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Jesus saved me one day. How long? Forever. Forever. You know, they want to doubt the power of God. I'm telling you, whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. So we start talking about getting our name recorded in this book. I'm telling you, because you're a believer in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you've got your name recorded in the book of life up in heaven. If you're not a believer, your name's not there. And He will go through the book one day. It will be brought open. You know, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. And what we've done in this life, and good things and bad. But then He'll open the book. You know, I believe there'll be people standing there that day, and you think about this, and He's reading this book, and they're standing there. They know their name's not in it because they know they're not a believer. But they're standing there hoping in some way, by some chance, that Jesus would call their name. But if you're not there, your name's not called, all these things will be problems for you. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55, some of my favorite scripture in the world. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 1. "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price." So it's inviting everybody that's thirsty. Anybody ever had a real bad thirst and there's nothing could quench it except a good cool water, maybe, you know, or a Diet Coke for some of us, or Diet Mountain Dew for some of the others. But I think about this thirst, and he's talking about a spiritual thirst, you know. And the only way we can quench that will be through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he says it don't cost money. It don't cost you anything. You know, we can't buy our salvation. We know through the book of Ephesians that it's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast, but a gift of God. And so we start talking about this. In verse 2, he asks a question, "Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight in its fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David." Think about this everlasting covenant. He's talking about don't waste your time, don't waste your energy on something that's not eternal, something that's not everlasting. You can get things in this world. You can get things in this life that'll last a short time, may bring you a lot of pleasure, may bring you wealth or some kind of happiness. But when we're talking about for an eternity, where are you going to spend eternity? That's what I'm worried about. You're going to live here on this life until your time to pass, and then, well, you know, your time will be over, but then you'll be facing an eternal judgment. Verse 6, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." And we have this invitation to while he may be found, while he is near. We're still in the period of grace, but it'll end one day. Grace will be over. And so let's do it while we can. "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." that word abundantly, thank God for it. I'm talking about a little bit of pardon wouldn't have done me. You know, it just wouldn't have got me through because I had too much to do. But when he said, I will abundantly pardon, didn't mean he'd just kindly or maybe or partly pardon me, but he said, I will abundantly pardon. And you receive that abundantly pardon when you receive Jesus Christ. Verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Boy, that's an understatement if I ever saw it, that his ways and his thoughts are not our ways and our thoughts. We're too human. We're in the flesh. We can't think like God. We can't know how he hung the stars. We can't know how he made the sun and the moon. We can't know how he divided the land from the sea. We can't know all these things. So my ways and your ways are not the ways of God, and our minds are not his mind, because his ways are higher than ours. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And so God gives us that understanding that, you know, he's sitting above us and he's got a plan. You know, his desire is that all flesh would come to the knowledge of the truth and receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You know, that's God's will, and so that's his thoughts. He's wanting everybody to know. When we start having this Word of God, and we think, well, it's not much. Well, I'm going to tell you, that's what we've got. That's what we've got. You know, that's what God chose, that we preach and teach the Word of God, the Lord Savior Jesus Christ. In verse 11, it comes a guarantee, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereinto I sent it. I can say with this word of God that there's a guarantee here today that if you'd come to the Lord, you'll find him. If you seek him, you'd find him. If you repent and ask forgiveness and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can get your name put on that book of life. They'll record it today. I can guarantee you that it said this word will not come back void, that it's going to accomplish something in our lives today. When I think about the opportunities that we have this day and time and this word, you know, it's not going to return void. It's going to have an effect. It's going to do a job. Why not go ahead and comply with it? You think, well, that's not what my mind is. Well, your mind's not like God's mind. And God may have a desire for you today that you receive his son as a personal savior for an eternity. Everlasting. Amen. Whatsoever God doeth, he doeth forever. And so we're talking about not just today or not just tomorrow or next week or a month or two or a year or two down the road. We're talking eternity. Amen. Chris, let's have a verse for something.